And now Phil Henry presents One-on-One with Frank Gray. The Phil Henry Show, a presentation of Phil Henry.
Thank you very much, Ward. Presentation of Phil Henry, huh?
Yeah. What do you think it's a presentation of? Your mama? You think it's a presentation of your mom, too?
Well, that's a dirty bull. Frank Gray is with me. We're going to do a one-on-one with Frank Gray tonight. We haven't done a one-on-one in a long time, and I can't think of anyone better to start off, you know, a summertime one-on-one than you, Frank. Thanks for joining me. I know you've been on the program a lot lately, but you've been with your wife, Margaret, who's here.
Yeah, Margaret, it's at the door. Do you want to drop the egg salad sandwiches off, or what? I don't know what it wants to do.
I've got a bag. I have a bag of egg salad sandwiches.
Back, if you back off, Margaret.
Back the hell off the microphone, Margaret.
Frank, I know what I'm doing. You don't. I do.
Yeah.
Good, Margaret. Thank you very much.
Egg salad. These are egg salad here and tuna fish here.
What about, can I get a napkin or do I wipe with my hand?
That's what you usually wipe with. I'm joking around.
Oh, Jesus. Thanks a lot for nothing, Margaret.
Here's some napkins.
I've got a nose here.
Thank you very much, Margaret. We have already started the show.
Oh, God almighty, I'm sorry.
Thank you, and so you got...
I've got the egg salad here. Here they got... And I got chicken broth. What are you laughing at? You sure you've started the show?
Yes, I have. I'm.
You're laughing like Chucko the Clown just took one right straight up there. You know?
I think a lot of people should know who, first of all, Chucko the Clown is. And then secondly, before you say anything else... Know that Chucko would never take one, quote, right straight up there.
Chucko the Clown was a wonderful, wonderful clown, and it performed on afternoons on Channel 7 KBC in Los Angeles.
Right.
And so it was a kid's show.
It was a kid's show, and Chucko used to spin the merry-go-round on the top of his head.
It would spin the merry-go-round right on the top of its head, and then it would say, let's do a cartoon.
Right.
All right. I mean, that's Chucko.
That's Chucko the Clown. But Chucko would never...
Chucko, but you, a moment ago, Phil Henry was laughing. It was sitting here going, hey, as if it was Chucko. And in the very remote instance of Chucko sitting on something...
All right, Frank, thank you very much. I wanted to talk to you.
Well, your way of saying thank you very much basically means blow it out your back door.
Yeah, well...
How's that egg salad?
Mmm.
Goddamn good.
Frank Gray joins us for this one-on-one here this evening. Frank, the first thing I got to ask you, and I think we got to clarify this, you're aware of the fact that there is this pronoun confusion that you have with regard to male-female.
I've been told, and I have been in treatment for this so-called pronoun confusion. In other words, I've been told that calling you she is wrong, and I should be calling you he, which sounds asinine to me.
Right. And yet it sounds totally good to me.
So I call you he, you see, anybody call me he, and he...
It's an insult.
Well, of course it is, because I don't have breasts. I don't have the vagina, you know?
By the way, is that how you pronounce that word?
What word?
Vagina?
Oh, vagina. Well, pardon me. Who went to Ivy League schools, huh?
No, I did not. That's how I... All right.
I call you, Margaret's my wife, and I call it he, and you say I should call it she. So that's why what I did was I just dispense with using pronouns. And now I simply call, and I think it's very flattering, everyone it.
Okay. So you call everyone it.
No, I don't. I call everyone it.
And when you call me, why should I be flattered by that?
Well, I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but we all pray to it. And I thought, well, you know what? Everyone has it inside of them.
Are you talking about God?
All right, now, okay, so let me ask you something. You're hearing the word what?
I'm hearing that when you say the word it, I hear God.
See, you just said, what I just heard you say there was the word God. I'm not calling people. I'm calling people, I like to think that we all have it inside of us, okay? So the
in other words, what you say is the word it is what the rest of us call God.
The rest of you call God. So that's how well.
But Frank, you got to understand something, man. You're using the word wrong. You're not using it properly.
All right, so I should be using the word God. If I'm talking about, I want to flatter you, I call you it, but you'd rather be called God.
Well, no, I'd rather not, because that's a little grandiose, but you know, grandiose, calling someone, do you know, if you say about an insect, there goes God, as opposed to a man who has it within him.
What is it laughing at?
Frank, do you understand that you've got it backwards?
Backwards? All right, I understand.
Frank, you're not using the word. The word you're using for what we call God.
Wait, hold on for just a minute. I went to the same schools you went to. I drank from the same drinking fountains. I sucked.
Yeah?
Watch it, Margaret. I sucked out of the same garden hoses, and I essentially, and every day I went to church, I knelt down.
And you prayed to it.
See, I'm using the name of the most high supernatural being, and I apply that to everyone because I believe in the community and the egalitarianism of the spirituality.
So when you pray to it,
yeah,
and that's who we all pray to.
We all pray to it. So even the tiniest insect is it, and you're it. But if you say you want me to call you God, I might as well. You say, there goes God. I'm looking. Let's say I see a rat, a filthy. There goes God. You want me to call?
See what I'm putting up with?
What are you putting up with, Margaret?
I'm just saying, Frank. No one understands what you're saying.
All right, I had to get that out of the way. But now I understand that when you call everybody it, you're using the word that we use for God.
Yeah, that's. Never
mind.
No one knows what you're talking about, Phil. Everybody's confused beyond words. In fact, oh, look at this great. This is. Here's General Shaw. Go ahead, General.
Yeah, listen, Phil, it's Galen Shaw. Frank, how are you?
Hey, General Shaw, how are you?
Great. Listen, you guys need to get off of this because you sound like about 100 yards of dumbass with all of this it and God, and I pray to it. You understand? You could get in some real trouble here, Phil.
I understand, but I thought I would clarify this. You know,
don't talk about me like I'm not here.
No, hold on. I thought I need. If I'm going to be one-on-one with Frank Gray, I had to address this.
All right, you've addressed it. You've addressed it. You've undressed it. Now you need to get it dressed and kick it out the door because I got news for.
That's enough there.
What'd you do?
I hung up on it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
All right, Frank Gray joining us on the world famous Phil Henry. So when you hear me say, Frank, hey, that rat, look at it. You think I'm being insulting to it?
Yes, of course. Yeah, look, I believe in it. A lot of people don't believe in it, and that's their choice. But I pray to it every night. I get on my knees, and I pray until I sweat. Asking it, I ask it for all kinds of things.
Frank, do you ask it for, like, money?
You better believe it. Twice on Sunday, I ask it for money.
All right, Frank, so I'm going to now put all of that aside. The fact that you understand, though, that you have this confused.
I understand that people say that when they hear the very holy name of it, they think I'm saying God. And I'll tell you what, they mess, you know what, all they're doing is messing all over me. All they're doing is messing all over me.
But Frank, you understand.
Margaret, I thank you for the egg salad sandwiches. I thank you for the tuna fish. Please.
All right, we got it, Margaret.
All right, I'm just wondering if he gets it.
I get it. Do you get it? I have great belief.
So you believe in it?
I believe very much in it, yes. And I was raised in a religious home, and my mother always said, go with it. And if you have it on your side, if it's on our side, how can we be wrong?
Right. We're on with Frank Gray, and this is one-on-one with Frank Gray. Frank, you were telling me about an interesting problem you had when you were producing movies.
Well, you're talking about Vampire Planet.
Vampire Planet, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a movie that I was producing with a guy by the name of Eggs Benedict. Roy Eggs Benedict. We called it Eggs Benedict. And it was a producing partner of mine. And it got a hold of a script for a thing called Suck It Dry. And I looked at it and I said, what do you want with me? I'm sitting there, I'm having coffee one more. This is down in Miami. Oh, okay, so you're in Miami, what year? It was 1968 or 1972. It was 1975 or 1968, that was it.
And, well, which was it, Frank?
Hey, Margaret, I've got it. It was 1967.
1967.
1967 or 1961. I realize I'm a little all over the board. But Eggs brought this script, and it was called Suck It Dry, Population 6.
Suck It? This is the name of the movie.
Yeah, it's the name of the script. The movie hasn't been made, but it's the name of the script.
Okay.
And I read this, and I thought, you know what? This is a movie. This is fantastic. Because this was a film about a planet full of vampires. And so came, you know, a rewrite. Myself, Eggs Benedict, its wife, Cookie. And everyone called it Cookie, but its real name, I think, was Margaret Cookie Benedict.
Doris.
Doris Cookie Benedict. And the three of us hammered out this script one weekend. And I remember Doris at the end of the weekend had looked and said, boy, all of the hammering you monkeys do, you finally came to see you actually wrote something, you know.
Well, she was joking.
Margaret.
Margaret, thank you. Sorry.
And I said, boy, that's dirty pool. Doris, what do you mean? You talk about a hammer, and I did the jerk off. And that's when Eggs hit me over the head with a plate.
Oh, that was what it was.
I said, what gives? And Eggs said, you know, that's my wife. So I apologized to Eggs. I apologized to Doris. But in any event, Doris, I think that was a
kind of a left-handed compliment. A left-handed compliment?
Well, left hand or right, it depends on which hand you use. Huh? What do you think? Huh?
Yay.
There you go. So we hammered out a script over the weekend called The Vampire Planet. And we signed up Earl Lavagetto. We signed the actors. We got Earl Lavagetto. We got Mookie Bryson. We got Stank Patagonia. And we also got a hold of a bright, bright newcomer by the name of Oddson McKinney.
A bright newcomer, huh?
That's right. Because you've never heard of it doesn't mean that it wasn't a good... It was a very fine, fine young actor. But guess what, Phil? It died of a drug overdose. How do you feel about that?
All right. I'd never heard of the guy.
Wait a minute. What do you mean guy? It was a girl.
Okay. Oddball McKinney?
Odds McKinney.
Okay.
And Odds played the captain of this outer spaceship that went up to Vampire Planet, see? So the thing that made Vampire Planet unique is, number one, the hero of the film was a woman. Huh? All right, Mark, you can applaud that.
Oh, very good, Frank.
And so now the script had a crew of about six astronauts flying to a planet, and they land on it. Next thing you know, they're turning up sucked dry, except for Odds McKinney's character named Captain Labuda of the USS Schenck. What was the name of it, man? I got to look this up.
USS Schenck.
The USS. So Captain Labuda of the USS Schenck lands on this planet. Three of the six crew immediately are found drained with the vampire fang. See?
Okay.
And so begins a hunt for the vampire, and they all wind up, they get wiped out. Now this was...
The whole crew gets wiped out.
The whole crew, including Captain Labuda. But Captain Labuda comes back as a vampire. See?
Okay. The others died.
The others just died. They, you know, in the script, they got drained, too much of their blood got drained out. Labuda, a rescue ship comes from Earth, and Labuda stows away on the rescue, because the rescue ship, they find nothing but dead bodies. And I think maybe one was a vampire, but they wiped it out. So then they fly back, and Labuda is on board, and it gets a free ride back to Earth. And then...
I think you had... Then Labuda got off in Hollywood.
Yeah, then Labuda gets off there, finds its way to Hollywood, and becomes a studio executive, and starts killing off all these writers. So here's the thing.
That sounds like The Player.
That thank you. See, there's a bunch of movies. Now, let's start off with the fact that there was a movie to come out called Planet of Vampires.
That was Mario Bava.
Yes, I know. Now, you're going to try and tell me that I ripped it off.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying that the Planet of Vampires is a pretty famous movie.
It was a famous movie. It was a famous... Our movie, Vampire Planet, where one of the crew, it turns into a vampire, comes back to Earth and goes to Hollywood and becomes a studio executive and kills off writers, was far and away more ingenious and a satirization of what's going on in Hollywood. And nobody gave two hot, wet farts for what I done did. And I found it to be very wrong.
Well, then what can I pray?
Go ahead, Margaret. No.
I want to say, Vampire Planet was a conceit. Frank wanted to make a commentary on Hollywood and also on the horror movies. As it turns out, Bava made his very legendary Planet of Vampires, and everyone thought that Frank was ripping him off.
Yeah, that was that. That's what hurt more than anything. That's what that was like, sitting down on a Bunsen burner and thinking. That was like sitting down on a Bunsen burner and thinking you're sitting down on a nice, soft couch, and suddenly your whole ass is cooked like a honey-baked ham. And I'm here to tell you, friend, it hurt. Hurt bad.
We are talking to Frank Gray, one-on-one here with Frank Gray. Frank, the husband of Margaret Gray. Frank, an entertainment attorney, television producer. At one point was a sports mascot. You've done a lot of things, Frank, and... we're catching up with Frank on some things we've always wanted to ask him. We talked about what was called, we used to call it gender confusion. It's not really gender confusion.
Well, what's what some call it, pronoun confusion. And I spoke to a very nice doctor over here at the Brainwave Clinic in San Miguel, and it was Dr. Finster. And Finster found a way for me to combine the... gender or pronoun confusion, so that I know I say it.
Right. And that to you is the word that you use for the supreme being.
This is what gets me.
Frank, you have to understand that we hear a different word.
I understand, but that's the word that I use. For what word do you use?
I use the word God.
What an insult.
Frank.
All right. Okay, fine. I wouldn't call a rat God. In other words, that's like saying, look at that dirty hobo on a sidewalk. Look at what it's doing. That what you say?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so Frank Gray joining. Look,
you should have seen Henry. It's going like this. Oh, well. Like somehow I'm the pain in the ass.
Do you...
Look, get it out, Phil. Do. Get it? Come on.
I'm going to ask you. Do you recognize that you're using words that all of the rest of us recognize as wrong?
I recognize it, yes. And I'll even go so far as to say that I'm using words wrong. But I'll never, ever not use the word for it in any other way that is proper.
And yet you are.
Frank, trust us.
No. My mother taught me how to pray to it.
Don't start fake balling.
I'm not fake balling. You know it.
Your mother had you pray to it?
Yes. And I would say, dear it, please bless mommy and daddy. And thank you, it. And it bless you. I would say that all the things, you know. Praise it.
Okay. And that's what you call people.
That's what I call people now, as opposed to getting the pronouns wrong. I say, look at it. My wife.
God. And to us, it sounds like you'd be saying, look at God, my wife.
How dare you?
All right, never mind. We're talking to Frank Gray. We talked about, okay, so Vampire Planet.
Vampire Planet. Now, when we got done with the shoot and Planet of Vampires had already come out, and I said to Hot Stuff Reardon, who was a press relations guy, and I told it, look, I want the big buildup on this thing. It said, well, Planet of Vampires has already stole the thunder in New York. and it just got released different about 35 markets in the United States, and you want to come out with Vampire Planet, you must have nothing but scrambled eggs where your brain used to be parked. And I said, let me tell you what, my fine feathered friend, Vampire Planet is a superior product to the planet. And it said, do you even know what Planet of Vampires is about? I said, no, I don't, and I don't want to know.
Well, Planet of Vampires, would you recognize today the Planet of Vampires as a classic?
I don't even think, I would, but I don't think anybody listening in the listening audience knows what the hell it is you're talking about. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's a good point.
Let me get on the phone now, Dean Wheeler from Northern California. I know that Dean was an actor working for you for a short time, right, Frank?
Dean was one of my actors, except it got into trouble with the police, and I don't think I'm talking out of school. Is that you, Dean?
Hi, Frank. Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm not talking out of school, but it got in trouble with the police, drug possession.
That's correct. That's right.
And then some kind of a morals charge. It was nothing very serious, but you were caught in a restroom.
Yes, I was, and that sort of ended. That began the downward spiral for me.
Yeah, I'd say it did, because I thought you had a great deal of talent, Dean. And then I find out they arrest you at a public toilet over here in Monrovia. And then finally, what?
Then I moved to Northern California with Emeralda. You remember Emeralda, right?
Yeah, beautiful young lady. It sang, right?
Yes, she did. She sang, and she still is singing.
All right, let me ask, are you happy?
I'm much happier. I don't think that acting was really... I got cut out for it.
And what was the whole thing? Well, they arrested you near a latrine.
Yes, I was arrested at a bathroom in a public park in Monrovia, and I don't want to get into it, but it was something that I had to live down, and fortunately for me, I did.
Well, I think the most important thing, Dane, is that you didn't go into entertainment. That would have followed you wherever you go.
Dean, it's Margaret, Dean. What? So that doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing now, working at the Holistic Institute, having your Wheeler Institute, I mean the Wheeler Resort and so forth?
No, none of that is, I don't think anybody really associates me that way. People know Wheeler Resort, Yogo. I think I've had a couple of students. We had one person, and Emerald, do you remember that? One kid, young 18-year-old kid said, are you the guy they arrested at a toilet? And the young 18-year-old kid, he was there with his parents at the Wheeler Resort. We had a yoga class going one morning, very early, about 6 o'clock. The sun was coming up. It was a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I was filled with the prana of life and filled with the joy of life. And this, you know...
Go ahead and say it was a punk kid.
It was a punk kid, because I was having such a good morning, and all of a sudden, he walks up to me and says, you're... Dean Wheeler. I said, yes. He says, didn't I read your name in a microfilm at my school library about getting arrested near a urinal? And I said, yes, that was me. And then the kid starts laughing and then said, well, you know, we all make our mistakes. And then he went back and we continued the class. But from that point forward in class, every time I looked back at him and I said, the kid's name, forget his name. Do you remember what his name was, Emeralda? Taylor, right. And I said, Taylor, are you understanding the different yoga positions? And I'd, you know, he'd do one of these, muffling his laughter. That was the only time that anyone really tried to break my castanets on that one.
Well, you know, I want to tell you something, Dean. I'm happy to hear that because you're a good man. I'm glad that you have Wheeler Resort. And what's the other one, Margaret?
And Man Camp and the Northern California Holistic Center.
Well, that's what Margaret suggests for me, is that yoga class. And I heard of yoga, but...
This is yoga, Frank. And yoga is... I like to think it's more superior to yoga because it is a partner exercise. It is a partner system of physical training, of physical health. So Margaret would be a part of that.
We should do it, Frank. We really should.
So what do we wind up doing?
Well, you perform these asanas or these yoga postures together. You're intertwined. And your face and Margaret, you're literally, you touch every part of her body with your nose or with your...
Wait, hold on for a minute.
Frank, you've got to listen to him.
Just listen for him. In yoga, it is a combined exercise whereby your nose or lips touch every part of your partner's body. So Margaret's nose would be...
You know, for the system of belief...
Let me jump in here if I could. Here's Phil Henry.
Oh, I didn't know you were there, Phil.
Yeah, I'm here. First of all, I want to just mention that yoga is... pretty bizarre, and Frank, if you don't mind me saying, it's pretty bizarre where your nose has to touch every part of your partner. See, we've had you on the show, and you have been, it's difficult for you to describe this, Dean.
It is difficult for me to describe it. All I can tell you is that it works.
Yes, but how does it work, Dean?
Margaret, are you still hanging around?
It's all right. She can... Yeah, I'm hanging around, Frank. I brought you your egg salad and your tuna fish sandwich, and here's a thermos of beef broth.
I love beef broth.
What is that about?
Anyway, so in yoga, with the nose and the mouth and everything touching every part of your partner's body, I think that's a little off-putting for people, and I think you need to explain it better.
Oh, you do, huh? Well...
Look, no point in getting... don't become hard-ass about it, Dean. You know, I've known you many, many years. No, you're trying to muscle Phil.
I'm not trying to, but you just heard what Phil said, you know?
I don't mean to challenge you. What I'm saying is, please explain it, Dean, because... I don't think you've explained it very well.
I can't explain it any better than I have. Yoga is a system of physical health and physical discipline that benefits every cell of the body, and it also benefits the union of two souls. You are practicing this physical system in one with the other, so that, yes, when you are in tune and entwined with your partner, your nose is right up there, man. I don't know.
Well, maybe you could find a better way.
Right here. This is a good point. Listen, Dean.
I was going to say, maybe you find a better way, Dean, of saying it rather than saying, and what, is that chipmunk?
I got a squirrel. Hold on for a minute. Emeralda, I got a traveler. Go ahead.
Maybe you find a better way of saying, you know, I got my nose up the...
I can't find a better way of saying it.
Dean, as long as you're having a hard time explaining what that means, people are going to be put off by it.
Nobody's put off. Everyone understands yoga, okay? And everyone understands that it is ultimately a wonderfully fusing and harmonious interaction between two free souls.
Where you just wind up with your nose up someone's ass.
Yeah, right there, Dean. See, I had to say that.
That's rotten of you to say that. You know that? Just rotten.
Dean, look, isn't that what it is, man? Because you've never been able to explain it to us in any other way.
Look, Dean, you know that I love you and respect you, but until you start to describe yoga, I love you, Dean, but all I can think of is having my nose up Margaret's...
Watch it, okay?
Well, you know.
It's a beautiful thing, is what I'm trying to say.
Then, Dean, you need to find a way to explain it better than you have.
I give yoga classes... every morning on the cliffs west of the Wheeler Resort, facing Marin, facing the San Francisco Bay, and people love them! And for you...
God damn. What are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at, Phil?
What am I laughing at? What's not to laugh at? I'm listening to Dean Wheeler, the guy who runs the Holistic Center, Man Camp, the guy that runs Wheeler Resort, giving yoga classes, all of this aromatherapy, all this stuff... And he loses it. Yes, bud?
No, you didn't want me to be on mic.
No, I didn't want you to be on mic.
But he called back.
All right, let me take the call here. Dean, it's... Dean, hello, it's Frank.
I'm awfully sorry, Frank, and I apologize to you, Phil. I apologize to you, Margaret. I you know, you're right, Phil. I should find a better way of describing what yoga is, so that people don't go around all day long saying, oh, is that physical exercise system where you have to have your nose in your wife's rectum?
Because well, look, if that's how they're seeing it, Dean, and that's how, because you don't want people saying, sure, let me go do yoga. I get to stick my nose up its rear end. As much as I love my wife, I don't want my nose up its ass.
Yeah, Frank. For any number of reasons.
Okay, for any number, yeah, that's right. Maybe it starts making the money. Then I, for real, gotta have the nose up it.
I understand, but this juvenile way of seeing things, and I've talked to Ted Bell about this, Phil. He has the same problem with people in his trying to sell his product.
Look, Ted's line is, we want to put our meat in your mouth. You got your nose up someone's ass.
I don't have my nose up anyone's ass.
I'm sorry, not you, but the Yogo system. You have to understand that people are going to see this in a you know, they're just...
I know. People are children. People want...
You know, Dean, you're a wonderful, wonderful man. You have to accept that people have got little tiny... That people are pea-brained. They got a little itsy-bitsy brain to decide. What'd you have in... Phil went to Beijing, China, and had a duck brain. How big was it, Phil? Duck brain?
Yeah, you remember you went to the Peking duck?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like the size of a pea. There you go. So these people have duck brains.
All right, well, you got that right.
All right. Okay, Dean.
Sorry again, Mr. Henry.
Dean Wheeler, and with me is Frank Gray here. One-on-one with Frank Gray on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show. One-on-one with Frank Gray. Be right back.
Would you like to have 50,000-plus hours of fun and frivolity at your fingertips? All you have to do is enter a username and a password and friend for under 10 bucks a month. Under 10 bucks a month.
It can all be yours. The Phil Henry Show website. $9.99 for 1 month, under $7 a month for a full year subscription. You have to be out of your mind. You got to be just... I don't even want to know you if you can't understand how good that is.
The world famous Phil Henry Show, a place for you to go to calm yourself, to immerse yourself in the cooling effervescent of the Phil Henry Show. It's wild, sometimes irreverent, most of the time, real oddball, funny, okay, I'll give you that, and lots of other things that we can't really enumerate or articulate at this point, since looking at my watch, we don't have a whole lot of time.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Get a subscription today. It's the greatest value online other than the porn.
Other than being born?
No, other than porn.
Oh! Welcome back, Phil Henry Show, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And as we promised, Frank Gray, Frank is, you know, the husband of Margaret Gray. Frank, the entertainment attorney, the man that has been a guest on our show for quite a few years. And also tonight we tried to articulate, Frank, the whole pronoun confusion and now the current use of the word it.
Yeah, well, look, the use of the word it, or what you call God, and which I find, again, very difficult... But I call everyone it out of respect. So I say, I love it like you wouldn't believe. I'm talking about who?
Margaret.
I'm talking about my wife, Margaret. And you know it, honey. And I look at it and I go, yeah. Because I appreciate my wife, not just for its brains, not just for its sense of humor, for its love and affection, and it's the great job it's done mothering our son, Jason J. Delmonico, and helping it grow up. But when I take a look at it, I'm like, yeah, all right, I could use a whole lot of that. Look at it.
All right, Frank, we get it.
All right.
See that? It doesn't even appreciate it when a man appreciates it.
Okay, so that word that you use, it, how did you come about using that? How did you get away from the pronoun confusion?
This is an interesting story, Frank.
I know it's, I'm going to tell it.
Sorry.
Let him.
Yeah, but it's great. Let him tell it.
I got it, bud.
I went down to the Brain Institute in San Miguel, California, which is actually north, but that's something that I was able to cure myself of. I talked to Dr. Bronward, and it told me, Frank, we're going to help you if it short dicks every something.
Okay. What's the language?
Sorry. So we're going to help you, Frank. But we notice that you say north for south. You say you go up when you mean you go down. And I said, no, I don't. But I said, you're close. I say we're going down when we mean up. And that's when Dr. Brownsword said, say no more.
So you go down to San Miguel.
No, I go down to San Miguel.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. So.
It's the opposite, Phil.
What did you say?
Nothing.
Anyway, I went to the Brainwave Institute there, Dr. Brownward, and Brownward is a great man. Do you know about Cleve Brownward?
No, I don't.
You don't? Let me tell you something about Cleve Brownward. Cleve Brownward came out of a town called, get this, Badass, Texas. That's the name of the town. And Cleve had to fight its way out of Badass, got an education at the University of Texas, Austin, then made its way to Vanderbilt University, got its degree in pharmacology, psychiatry, made its way to Johns Hopkins University, where...
It's John Hopkins.
No, it's not. It's Johns Hopkins. What do you think about that?
Right.
And now I forget. Dr. Brownward. Dr. Brownward. And then I met it at UCLA when I... No, I met it at the Brainwave Institute. It came out to UCLA and did 4 years in the brain clinic.
Is that what it was called, Frank?
Yeah, it was called... Why don't you sit down over here, Mark?
No, I'm fine over here.
It's sort of the neuromedicine? I don't know. It's just the brain clinic. Dr. Brownward said I worked at the brain clinic, and I said, that's good enough for me. And then came down and started the Brainwave Institute, and there's the brain unit inside the Brainwave Institute. So you went down there. I went down there, and for 3 days and three nights, they had electrodes connected to my head, and they were doing readings. And they did an electroencephalograph. You ever had one of those done, Phil?
I have, as a matter of fact, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Why? I had an electroencephalograph when I was having trouble sleeping. I went to the UCLA sleep clinic back in the 80s. No kid, boy. Woo-hoo!
Man, stuff they must have found out about you, Miss Hardy.
What'd they find, Phil?
What do you mean, what did they find, Phil? Well, I mean, when we talk about Phil Hendry, we're talking about, I would say, you know, what do you think they saw when they looked at its, Jesus.
Well, what about it, man?
Well,
I mean, they looked, I was fine, to be honest with you. They thought maybe I was having a hard time sleeping. They thought maybe I was having seizures. That's why they hooked me up to that. I even had a scan. I was fine.
Well, then how come you can't sleep?
How come I can't sleep? Because I've got an overactive brain. I got to learn how to relax. That's, you know... Basically, my sleep has gotten way, way better since those days.
And then you did it. What other EEG?
We're not talking about me. Frank, we're talking about you.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so it hooked me up to electrodes, and it said, take a look at it. And Dr. Brownward and I got along very well, and it would say to the other doctors, look at that, sitting in there with wires coming off of its head like six ways to sunset.
Jesus.
It admired you a lot.
It admired me a great deal, yeah. Why did you call it God?
Nothing. I misspoke.
Yeah. Yes, it did. So the Brainwave Institute, and that's when I got into working with Dr. Brownward and Dr. Brownward's assistant, Dr. Boneberg. And then there was Dr. Gagma. All of these...
Dr. Gagma.
Yes. All. Why? Because the name's got gag in it?
Oh, grow up, Phil.
What? Phil, you got to grow up.
All right.
So all of these doctors helped me, and at that point I came out of there, and all of a sudden I said to Dr. Gagma, I said, please thank Dr. Brownward and tell it that I appreciate it. It suddenly just came out of my mouth, tell it, I appreciate it. And Dr. Gagma said, well, that's a good start. It's a little grandiose calling Dr. Brownward it, but all right, and that's where it happened.
So you just came right out of the institute?
Yeah.
And he came home and said, it's a red letter day, Margaret, because I just got out of the cab and I tipped it, meaning the driver, $20. And I went, my God, Frank didn't call the cab driver she. I know this doesn't make any sense to you, Frank.
No.
And from that moment forward, I knew that it was going to be weird, but it was getting better.
This has been one-on-one with Frank Gray.
What do you look like? You're all put out.
No. I'm just glad that we were able to do this in a reasonable amount of time. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, what did we accomplish?
I have...
You got to...
Got to know Frank... What do you mean, what did you accomplish? You got to know me, Frank Gray, okay?
Yeah.
Get to Vern Dozier.
Vernon Dozier checking in. Coach Dozier, go ahead.
Hey, Frank. Vernon Dozier here. And I want to thank you. I found it very interesting.
Thank you very much, Coach.
And I'm in the gym right now. And the way that I am dealing with the fact that you were a guest on a one-on-one on the Phil Hendry Show before I was is by trying to lift is by trying to lift 1,000 pounds.
Why? Because you're all pissed off or something?
Oh, you're all pissed off, Coach.
I would much rather have been interviewed on the Phil Henry Show before I heard you, because you're in there with the it, the he, the she. Listen to this.
I bet you lift about 2 pounds.
That's right.
Hang it up. Hang it up.
I'll let you hang up.
Hang it up.
Well, I want to thank Frank Gray. Margaret, thanks for coming in with the egg salad sandwiches. And thanks for the one-on-one, Frank.
What? What did we accomplish? It doesn't feel like there was any more.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. Well, people found out about the he, she, and the it.
People found out about what?
Go ahead, Phil.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh. World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on podcast one. Frank Gray.